therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in with today's guest with a question or a thought, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. With that, today's a Tuesday. It's a political day. The last Tuesday of every month is reserved for Mayor Bryce Ward. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
But last month, we didn't have you because?
We just had a baby, my wife and
Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
So tell us about your daughter, McKinley.
Well, she's still keeping us up at night. It's been our second middle child is six, so it's been 6 years since we've had a baby, and you kind of forget a few things about...
Comes back fast, though, doesn't it?
Sure
it, Dad?
Does. It comes roaring back.
So. not a polite way, either.
No, it's been good, but definitely some adjustment. And, you know, they eat when they eat, and they poop when they poop, and all that other jazz. So,
and they're going to let you know when they want to do both, or well, one anyway.
Yep, or when they're not happy. So, but we're happy to have her here. And
Everyone's healthy.
Everyone's healthy. We're doing well, and just getting ready for... A good winner.
Well, you're coming into your last year.
I know. It's hard to believe.
Your term, yeah. 5 years already.
Time flies when you're having fun or something like that.
It just flies.
It just flies. We'll just go with that.
Any thoughts going into your final year?
You know, we're really focusing on trying to wrap up some projects. There's some stuff that we've been working on. Actually just had a conversation with our public works director about our capital improvement program. So we were in our third revision. So it's almost 5 years into that. And really seeing a lot of these programs that we've been working on, making sure that they're institutionalized and that we've got our stuff buttoned up for the next administration. Cause I really want to make sure whoever comes in after us is ready to hit the ground running. Staff's ready to hit the ground running with them and they're not exhausted. And we've got a good game plan. So.
You have, two or three new borough assembly members?
We've got three new assembly members. So two of our incumbents were voted out,
mm-hmm.
Or other folks were voted in. And then we've got one that termed out. So we got three new assembly members coming in.
Any thoughts?
I think the great thing about local government is that you just got to get the work done, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a learning curve. I definitely think everyone recognizes that. So we just want to make sure we're doing the right thing to get everyone up to speed, make them familiar with what the different projects are that are out there. And it sounds like the assembly is really interested in kind of getting their hands around the issues and making good decisions. So,
you know, you have a lot of Parks and Rec, and you had a lot of good Halloween things going on. How'd Spooky Town go?
It went really well. So that's, you know, something we've been doing for a number of years now, great partnerships there. And it was good weather, too.
It was.
You know, I can...
35 above is great.
It is really great. And, you know, you can actually... Kids are out there in their costumes and just having a good time. So it wasn't 20 below, so we're going to count that as a win.
And the train ran?
Gosh, you know, I don't know. I wasn't actually there, but...
that's right. You had a baby.
We typically have the train running. I think they even have the old engine number one out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great time.
Now, let me get this straight. You have engine number one running, and we have the PM 2.5 issue.
I don't know if it was going on that day. So...
far be it for me not to have fun with that one.
Yeah, take a jab at that. Be quiet. We don't want to have EPA getting tuned in on that too hard. So
you know they're going to be coming out with a decision sometime.
We are. We're imminent, I would say, for a decision on the Sirius SIP. You know, the preliminary information we've got is that there was partial disapproval. And so the state's been working really hard on developing a plan that can be deemed approvable. And there's a lot of bureaucracy involved in this. And I know folks get really frustrated when they hear, you know, about all the regulations, mm-hmm. the different impacts. But I'll tell you one thing that's been an observation I've seen is that everything that the state has done, even the borough at this point, has been to really be able to allow us to continue to use home heating devices such as wood stoves and pellet stoves in the time when it's not necessary to have curtailments. And so a lot of the regulation is drafted around that, how you can continue to have that ability to use those devices, and it's not just a carte blanche removal. But it's a delicate balance, right? Because we want to make sure we're meeting the clean air standard. We want to make sure that we have a healthy community for folks to be able to live in. You've got to recognize too, is that it's expensive to live here. We have a lot of heat demand, and those all are equally important as well. So it's how do you strike that balance? How do you meet that standard in a way that doesn't completely deprive a community of an economy? Or of the health that we want to have.
And then, you know, the punitive damages they want to give to you for not complying with their score, so to speak, even though you're trying, is to hurt your infrastructure by making you have more expensive fuel.
Yeah, so the really interesting thing about the way that the law, the Clean Air Act, was drafted, it was, you know, put in place back in the 70s, and the primary contributor to pollution in cities at that point was automobiles. And so the punitive measures that came along with the Clean Air Standard when it was put in place revolved around transportation funding.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't improve these air quality issues, then you will be punished, if you will, through transportation dollars. So in our particular situation, and as the Clean Air Act has evolved, it's picked up more of these pollutants, more of these issues that are not necessarily derived solely from automobiles. In fact, actually, in our instance, it's a minority, a very, very small percentage of the issue comes from automobiles and vehicles. But the punitive measures still revolve around transportation. So,
and taking away funding.
So that has been one of the things that we've really worked on is in fast planning, which you're a member on the policy mm-hmm. board, is drafting letters to EPA, to our congressional delegation, that would say, hey, you know what, we recognize there's an issue. We recognize there's got to be consequences for that. However, transportation is not the right place to go to get these punitive measures. So help us get into attainment. Don't make it more difficult, and don't punish us in an area where it really has nothing to do with air quality.
The issue. Nothing to do with the issue.
Yep.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Borough Mayor Bryce Ward in the studio with us, and we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
So, you thought your rig was ready for winter, didn't you? Yeah, and then this.
That ain't right.
Better get it over to Pearson Auto. Let their trained certified techs take a look. Could be something simple that keeps your car from running properly in these cold, brutal temperatures. It's what they do in their clean, state-of-the-art shop in North Pole off the Ridge and on Airport Way across from Pikes. Pearson Auto even provides a loaner car if it's something not so simple. Home of the oil change for under $40. Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
This year, Staples will not be celebrating the holidays. Instead, we're celebrating the holiday deals with amazing savings for the holiday season. Save 50% on custom holiday cards, save 50% on custom invitations, and save 50% on custom photo gifts like mugs and calendars. During Staples holiday deals, it's not about the ho-ho-ho, it's about saving do-do-do. Save 50% on custom cards, invitations, and photo gifts today at Staples. Ends 12/16. Visit staples.com/print for more details.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more Straight Talk. Now you can get a Walmart Plus membership, plus not pay for it, because it's included with Straight Talk wireless plans. You get free delivery with Walmart Plus, plus a Paramount Plus subscription included. Plus, you pay less for gas. That's a lot of pluses.
Only Straight Talk gives you unlimited 5G data and Walmart Plus included on select plans for free.
Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Requires service on Gold or Platinum Unlimited. One offer per eligible account. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. Additional terms apply.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing. Offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 31 today under overcast skies. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 17 tonight. Overcast skies. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow. Highs around 28. Cloudy skies expected. 28 Thursday with a chance for snow. 24 Friday. Snow continues. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Bryce Ward in the studio with me. New father, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm not too tired.
Tell us a personality trait of your daughter already.
Oh, gosh. She has a big personality already. So she likes to tell us what she likes and doesn't.
She's letting you know.
She's letting us know.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's great. You recently, the Borough Assembly passed a ordinance on your platting.
Yes.
I really didn't study it, didn't look at it. Could you bring us through it?
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe start off with people kind of get a little bit confused if you're not into kind of understanding the building blocks of community and what platting is. So platting is subdivision of lands. And so when you talk about the community, when you talk about where your roads are laid out, how your lot lines, your easements, all that kind of stuff, that's determined by your platting board. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, throughout the years, there's been a division of lands that did not go through the platting authority. So by state law, if you're going to divide lands in an area with jurisdiction, you have to go through that jurisdiction. So for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, since we were essentially a borough back in the 60s, you've had to go through the platting authority. If your land was divided at any point in that time frame without going through the platting authority or securing a waiver through the platting board, then it's called an illegal division of land. And our code did not allow for that land to be further subdivided or for you to recognize illegally subdivided parcels. And so, you know, this may be if you have a 5-acre parcel and at some point you had an attorney draft up a deed and you split off 2 acres. That could be an illegal division. We also have instances where people have taken whole tracts and subdivided them into 5 and 10 and 20-acre parcels. And so the challenge that you run into when you don't go through the platting process is you don't necessarily get road dedications, you don't get easement dedications, and it can create problems where properties are landlocked or where they're not accessible. So this ordinance that Ms. Wilson co-sponsored with me allows us to be able to have those illegal divisions of land go through our platting process to be essentially recognized through a legal division process. So the land itself can be recognized. Ideally, we want the entire parent parcel, so all of the kind of remaining deed splits to be included in that. That's the preferred option. That's always been allowed in code. But you can't always get all of the landowners, the different landowners, to agree. Mm-hmm. And so
not in Alaska.
No, and if you have one of these divisions where there's, you know, 20 different subdivisions, yeah, or divisions of land.
And ownerships have changed.
Exactly. And that was a big thing, is a lot of folks were unaware of this. They're like, well, geez, I brought this. I had a title search done. No one said anything about, you know, that this wasn't legally divided,
yeah,
property.
Yeah.
And so that was definitely a challenge, something we heard from the community. And so this process allows for folks to go through the major plat process to be able to further subdivide. So if you have like a 5-acre parcel and you want to make two and a half acre parcels or something along those lines, then you can do that. And there are some standards that you have to meet. Obviously, we're going to go through the normal platting process, so you'll have a plat. And so folks have asked the question, like, well, how do I know if my land is illegally subdivided or not? Well, the easy answer is if you have a plat. So if you can go on the recorder's office, or if you were provided any kind of plat in the transaction when you acquired the property,
you should see basically a map of the property and of property lines and property corners. You may have like adjacent subdivisions included as reference. And then you'll have on the far right, generally speaking, of the map, the legend, something that says Borough Platting Authority, and it'll be signed. Or it could be DNR, it could be something along those lines, if it was done in that time frame when we were a borough. So if you have that, then you're, generally speaking, you're pretty good. If you don't have that, or your property was subdivided or divided by deed, you may just have like something that was recorded with the recorder's office. Or you may have a legal description that sounds really weird, like from hence point to there end point, 200 feet by
this meets and bounds.
Meets and bounds description. So if you have that type of description, then it may require additional research in order to find out if you were, there's a possibility for a waiver. There's mm-hmm. a bunch of different possibilities, or if your land was divided prior to statehood or prior to the borough or prior to the local platting authority. Those can all be deemed legal, but you've got to do research on your property to find out.
Sounds cumulative, very cumulative.
Yeah, and you know, it's really...
You've given amnesty to everyone, which is good.
Well, kind of. So amnesty is blanket. You all are forgiven.
But now it's you have a way to go forward.
Exactly. So
but you have to comply with standards that are in place today.
Exactly. So what we did is we said we've got a current process for dividing land. This allows these undivided lands to be able to enter into that process mm-hmm. and follow our major plat process for subdivision. So it does require, we don't allow quick plats for these. It's got to be a major division or major plat subdivision, but it gives you a path forward. And I think that's the part that, you know, I struggled with is that when people came in and said, hey, I want to fix this, we had no way for them to fix it unless they got everyone to agree, which sometimes is just not possible.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could go take someone to court, you could get them, you could compel them with a court order to be a part of this, but that's just a great way to make good neighbors. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily rectify the issue because there may still be access issues that have to be identified. There may be other things that need to be addressed through the platting process.
Boy, assessments. Your assessments are still going up, so you're following the trend. But your mill rate came down,
mm-hmm.
so you didn't use your tax levy to the greatest extent that you could.
Yeah. So. You know, assessments are determined every year as of January 1, so we're certainly coming up on the end of the year, so we'll...
And note to self, if you are over 65, you have to have in your application for your $165,000 waiver before December 31st. It can't be January 1, can it?
$150,000.
$150,000.
If you're a senior citizen, yeah. disabled veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe the deadline is January 1st. So there is a different deadline for different exemptions.
Okay.
So it depends on if it's a charitable exemption or a homeowner exemption or a senior citizen disabled veteran exemption. But you do have a little bit of time. However, I would encourage you to come down to the assessing office if you have any questions to say, hey, when am I eligible for this? Homeowner, you just have to be your primary place of residence as of January 1st. And then you have to be, of course, qualifying either senior citizen or a disabled veteran for that qualification.
You're having, under the microscope, nonprofits on your assessments and values. It seems like is that coming from the attorney or from the assessor's office?
So we've gotten a number of questions about this over the last couple of years, and The borough assessor is the one that determines values
mm-hmm.
And also determines initial taxability. So folks like to think that the mayor gets to determine
that. That's why I didn't bring you into this. Yeah. No, so, keeping you out of that snowball fight.
Right. So it's important, and I think, you know, for folks to understand that there is a separation there. You don't want an elected official determining the tax value or taxability status. Now, with that being said, the assessor does have to look at current state law, look mm-hmm. at case law, and say, okay, what is allowed, what's not allowed. State law is pretty specific on what is allowed. So the premise is that everything is taxable unless it's deemed that it's not taxable. So with Alaska, if you're going to have an exemption, you have to prove essentially why you're not going to tax one property over another, because it may be disproportional rights. So with the instances with nonprofits and charitable organizations, state law says it has to be exclusively used for the allowed purpose. And so the assessor has to go through a determination to determine if that property is being exclusively used for that purpose. And there's been some question and some debate about that. I would say that in kind of my observation, there's certainly been, I would say, some changes in how things have been done over the past few years. I would say also from like the nonprofit charitable perspective, you know, back in the day it was white picket fence for the church, and you know, you had church services and did different community activities there. Nowadays, many times organizations are more diverse in what they provide and what they how they serve the community, and they don't necessarily always fit nicely in these boxes of exclusively used for X, Y, or Z. So you know, there's definitely been some question there. I would say if folks do have question,
I'd say questions is a polite term. Consternation is another term.
Well, that's certainly another word for it. And so, you know, I would say if there is question, you know, if you're a nonprofit, it doesn't hurt to, I would say, talk to the assessor. I know some folks may disagree with that, but that is the individual that makes that determination. And they should be able to help explain, you know, if you have a question on operations, hey, we're doing this, this, and this, or we want to do this, this, and this, you know, is there a question there? They should be able to help give direction as to how that is being interpreted. I would also say is that, you know, study the law, study the history there on what is allowed, what's not allowed. And if there is a question that doesn't fit within this state law charitable nonprofit exemption, we also do have community purpose exemptions. So those are granted by the assembly where it doesn't necessarily fit into one of these categories. So we've got a number of organizations like the Dog Musters Association, you know, they're charitable, but they do rent their facility. They do have other expenses that they recoup through other type of organization operations. And Riverside Theater. There's different organizations that over the years have come to the borough and said, "Hey, we're community purpose focused. We serve the community at large, and so you know we do charge for our services, or we ask for you know recompensation to be able to provide these services, which means we may not be exclusively used for a charitable purpose, and so they've been granted a community purpose exemption."
It gets complicated, doesn't it?
It does, and it's not always cut and dry.
No, it's complicated, convoluted, and not cut and dry. Oh boy. Well, but if a group is outside what the assessor deems is outside of their reason for having a tax exemption, they can still take it to the borough assembly for the community value use or whatever it is.
Right. So there's actually a change in code that was put in place this last year. So there's two different issues, right? One is taxability. Mm-hmm. One is tax value. So if you have an issue on valuation, doesn't matter if you're a home or if you're a business or whatever organization in town, if you're assessed a value, you can always appeal that value to the Board of Equalization. It's a board made up of local community members that essentially serves as a quasi-judicial
arbitrator of value. I was on it for 8 years.
Right. Okay. So you have good experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the assessor makes their case, the property owner makes their case, and, you know, a value is determined, right? Did the assessor get it right? Did they not? And you've probably, through your experience, seen cases where the assessor has been correct and issues where the or circumstances where the property owner has been correct.
You don't want to go there with me. No, it's usually the assessor's correct because this is not what a property owner is used to doing. They're going against an A-team. Mm-hmm. They're just going up there and saying, it's not fair that my taxes went up so much. And, you know, as an appraiser and a real estate broker, I'm saying, let's see your facts. And they're not prepared like the assessor's office is. So it's just one of those things where The assessors, usually it's a 30-to-1 ratio of wins versus losses. So just the way it is. Anyway, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The FBI Director Christopher Wray, testifying in front of the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, says the war between Israel and Hamas has increased the threat of hate crimes against communities in the United States.
We're going to continue to do everything in our power to protect the American people and support our partners in Israel.
President Biden wants an aid package totaling over $100 billion to help both Israel and Ukraine, as well as U.S. border security. But Senate Republicans are calling for the Biden administration to show their actual plan to improve border security. Here's Nebraska Senator Pete Ricketts.
We have a humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border, and it is created by Joe Biden's failed and inept policies.
Customs and Border Protection data shows officials arrested 18 people on the FBI's terror watch list in September. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a man was shot and killed by an Alaska State Trooper outside a Toke Motel early Monday morning. At 2:35 a.m., troopers got a call from someone in a room at the Three Bears Toke Motel saying a man was trying to break in, troopers wrote in a dispatch and email. A Toke-based trooper came to the motel and saw a man, later identified as 21-year-old Timothy Thomas of Northway, holding an AK-47-style rifle. According to the dispatch, the trooper shot Thomas due to his actions. Thomas died at the scene. The trooper involved has been placed on 72 hours of administrative leave, which is protocol. The Alaska Bureau of Investigation is investigating the shooting, including Thomas' possible motive and his relationship with the occupants of the motel room. And finally, on this Halloween, be looking out for your local law enforcement agencies tonight as they will be doing Operation Glow. They will be handing out glow sticks in many of the busy neighborhoods around Fairbanks for trick-or-treaters. And from all of us here at the news desk, have a happy Halloween.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Wings on Wednesdays for just $1.50 each. That's every Wednesday at Big Daddy's. Wings the way you like them. Slow smoked and delicious with great choice of styles, including original buffalo and sweet honey barbecue, to name just a few. Come by Wednesday for wings at Big Daddy's and load your plate up with some of those sides that speak Southern, like collard greens, red beans and rice, and so many other choices. It's the award-winning northernmost Southern barbecue. Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenue.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mayor Bryce Ward in the studio with me, and he brought up a good one we're going to talk about. Board of Adjustments, sir. Oh, we had this conversation, what, 8 years ago?
Oh, gosh, it wasn't that long ago, but...
Yes, it was when you were a city mayor at North Pole.
Yeah.
Is when that started. Mayor Castle, he had a hissy fit.
Is that what we're calling it?
Well, what would you describe it?
Disagreement?
That's a meltdown? A revenge, a vengeful act?
Well, I don't know if I go that far, but There was definitely a change. So, yeah, as you mentioned a couple of years ago.
What prompted the change?
Well, I wasn't making those decisions at the borough at the time. But I know the outcome. I know that there resulted in an ordinance that stripped the Board of Adjustment powers for from the city for zoning appeals.
Yeah,
Title 18, certain zoning appeals.
What caused it was the Chugach school business or whatever. They were from the Chugach area. They were a home-based student business, and they moved into town, and they had this property that they got on Well Street, which is a very narrow street, and it's no cul-de-sac, it's a dead end, and they bought this really big house, and they had this envisioned plan, and the neighborhood went nuts, and you have a school, but the borough said that because of its zoning, we can put a school wherever we want. And so that's what started it, you know, zoned residential. And so it came to the, I was on the city council at the time. It came to the planning commission, and they voted no. And then a 30-minute break happened, and they came back, and they thought they did a what do you call it when you re-vote again?
Motion to reconsider?
Yes. They thought that they did that, but they actually didn't even do that. But they voted to they voted the location to have it as a conditional use permit. Right there. So then it came, it was appealed to the Board of Adjustment, which was the City of Fairbanks. And we just said, you got to be nuts for doing this. So we said no to it. At the same time, the borough wanted to rename Terminal Street to something else. And it's where the terminal, it's called Terminal Street because that's where the old train terminal was. So Jim Williams, who used to be our chief of staff, it was yours, and he came, well, it sounds morbid. So we're all looking at him, what? You want to change this because it sounds morbid? So we said no to that. And then Mayor Castle had a hissy fit. He had a hissy fit. He said, okay, City of Fairbanks, we're taking away your board of powers for Board of Appeals, and we're also taking your powers away to name streets. So I sort of got on Castle, and he had a meltdown, but I agreed. You know, great guy, but he was too involved in this. He had a meltdown of me basically showing how myopic this was and stupid, but that's life. And so he still pressed it, and the borough assembly, they voted in taking the appeals powers away from the City of Fairbanks, but they left us with street naming powers in our city. That's where it happened 8 years ago. And then over the last few years, Jerry Clearworth on the city council, he's really been after it, and he's been pushing. This came at you 2 or 3 times.
Oh, geez, this is the fourth time or something like that?
Yeah, fourth time's a charm, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, the assembly approved it at the last meeting, so you know, the transfer, I guess, of those certain authority or that certain power goes back to the city. And you know, as I understand the issue, you know, there's certainly the politics, right? There's politics behind everything. The issue had to do with this appeals when it differed with the position of the borough, which has the platting, or excuse me, the zoning authority. So There could be an instance, and I think there was, with that particular case where the city made a decision as a Board of Appeals, and then the borough challenged that decision, and then I think the applicant challenged that decision or something. There's quite a bit of fighting, if you will.
Yeah, went to court.
And then I think in the end they ended up selling the property, and it all went away.
Well, you still have a conditional use permit on that property.
For that purpose.
Yeah. That doesn't go away. Even though their business failed, that's the whole thing about it. You know, it stays. It's not per owner; it's per property.
Well, it's per use per property, so
it stays with the property.
Yeah, but I don't. That would be a good question. I don't think like someone couldn't pick it up and run with it. I don't think.
I think what happens is after a year you don't use it. After a year you lose that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, your grandfather writes.
So then it's
since gone expired. Now, but yeah, but here that whole thing happened for a out of town school that failed. Because the mayor had a hissy fit.
I have my own opinions about out of schools coming into our area, but I think generally speaking, it makes sense to me to have your appeals body also be the same authority that has the zoning authority. If that's what you're appealing, that's what you're arbitrating. So, I can understand, and Mr. Cleworth made the case in the assembly meeting that the city, it's in the city boundaries. The city should have the rights to be involved in that kind of final say in that process. And, we have quasi-judicial roles set up all over the place to arbitrate issues at a local level. We don't have local courts, right? And so anything that has to be arbitrated beyond the local level has to go to Superior Court. So I do think it's good to have that local appeal. But I think it's important to have that vested with the authority in the community that essentially takes on that responsibility. So my take to your predecessor, too, was if you want zoning, we'll give you zoning.
Oh, no. No. We've had that conversation. Oh, no. That's staying in your court.
Yeah. Darn it. All right. I thought we had a deal.
No. I'm not going to feel that pain. But I enjoyed being on the Planning Commission, and it was interesting, the remarks in the paper. I did not go to the hearing on the ordinance. But Van Lawrence, he was on the Borough Assembly, and he was quite a proponent of this, being a close ally and friend of Mayor Castle. So he came in and gave his two cents again, and about how the city council members on it, are not qualified or something to that effect. And when he took it away from us, there was three past members from the planning commission on the city council. So we had more, as I said to Carl Castle, we have more specialization at this than your assembly does. And he did not like that. Like I cared.
Yeah. I do think one of the merits, the good things that came out of the change, which obviously has gone back, is that, you can have city council members now, or you could, that sat on the planning commission. So from that perspective, it seemed like a great way for the city to be able to exert that influence at the planning level. Granted, it's not the appeal, but hopefully make a good decision. You don't have an appeal, right?
Yeah.
But now with the way that system is set up, you can't have someone on the planning commission because the appeal body, if it was a council member, may also be sitting in that capacity. So
it seems like the planning commission has been a thorn for both of us.
That's probably the case for most communities, right?
I nominated a person to it, and you guys said no. You have a city council member there, so we're going to put that one there. And anyway.
Well, I think we got it straightened out, we've got every seat filled except for one, but I think we're waiting on a letter. You've got a letter coming?
Yeah, I've got, I'm interviewing a person.
Perfect. Yeah. So, and we got, the city's up to four members now, so you got four members on the Planning Commission.
Yeah, what, seven?
Out of 11.
11.
So,
it is that big of a body, isn't it?
It is. So, through state law, we've got to have equal representation across the borough. We were able to, because of the last census count, the city had, I think, 3.7 or 3.8 equal seats. And so we said, hey, let's round that up to four. We did readjust the city of North Pole seat as well. It's been, I think, almost 5 years since that's been filled. And it was limited to city boundary residents. And so we said, hey, a North Pole area resident, still by nomination of the city council. So we're still waiting on that seat, but that's available if you're in North Pole.
That was a good move on your behalf, because when I was on the Planning Commission, when you were the mayor, you could never find a person to sit on that. I mean, you can never find a person because you have a very small population base there.
Yep. I think in my 6 years out in North Pole, we had a member for 2.5 to maybe 3 years worth of that time.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, we had lots of business owners that said, hey, I'd be willing to serve. I own a business here.
But I don't live there.
But I don't live there.
I don't vote there.
Yep. And you had to be a city resident. And so with these changes, this change that we made to the planning membership, you just have to be a North Pole area resident. You have to carry the interest of the city, right? Mm-hmm. But I think a business owner can do that. Obviously a property owner can, but maybe it's not your primary residence. So, but that comes by nomination of the city council. So if you're interested, I would say please reach out to the North Pole City Administration, Mayor Welch, and say, hey, you know, I hear you got a planning commission seat for North Pole. Here's my interest. You know, I'm a business owner, I'm a landowner, whatever. They can go through their process and make their recommendation, just like you do for the city of Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. When we come back, we're going to talk that B word, budgets. It's so exciting. We'll be back after this.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Get your medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, only $6. Oh yeah, hot from the oven, fresh and fast. We know you're coming, so it's in the oven, fresh and fast. Customer Appreciation Day is today. One day only, medium cheese or pepperoni, just $6. Carry out only, fresh and fast.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
The Hungry Robot is your 50-50 Friday offer of the week. Taste their passion for pizza, pepperoni, chicken bacon, buffalo blue, J-Popper, spicy Islander Supreme, and so much more. Check their menu online. All baked in the Hungry Robot's wood-fired brick oven. And all half price for 50-50 Friday. Just across from the Mattress Ranch on Old Steese. Look for their big wood-fired copper ovens. Pickup and delivery. Visit thehungryrobot.org. The Hungry Robot. Wood-powered passion for pizza.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
High temperatures reach up to 31 today. Under cloudy skies. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 17 tonight. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 28. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mayor Bryce Ward in the studio with me here. The one thing about a government entity, the budget is, it's a process that even when you're done, you're restarting it again.
You're never done.
So you're getting ready to restart your final budget.
Right. Yeah. So we're fiscal year. So our budget started July 1st. We start having our, just had this conversation on Monday, yesterday, with department heads about the upcoming budget. So we're already gearing up. We really start in earnest, I'd say, end of December, early January, because we've got to have that. I have to have it transmitted to the assembly by first week in April.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of work that needs to happen. And this year's going to be probably more work than prior years. You know, we've got you talked earlier about the assembly pushing down the mill rate, which was definitely you know, a nice thing. I think everyone probably, if you pay escrow, you've probably got your checks in the mail on money that came back to you if it was over a certain amount because of that reduction. I do fear that it was a little bit too much of a reduction because there was a lot of stuff that, or there's a few things I would say, and school funding is one of them, that was paid for with one-time money. And so because we didn't tax for it, in order to be able to provide the same amount this next year,
It wasn't sustainable.
And so, you know, I don't have a problem using one-time money for like capital, for certain types of programs. But if it's meant to be an operational expenditure, my opinion is we should tax for it. We probably should have taxed for that this last year. So
you're right. Sadly, when you have a one-time expense, you're setting yourself up just to raise the mill rate again to cover what you need to do.
Right. And education funding in particular, I feel like we talk about that every time I come on. it's a big deal.
It is. You know, how much of your budget goes towards the school district?
So if you look at the total budget, we last year was contribution was $50 million in tax dollars, mm-hmm. and about an extra $4.5 million in additional. So $55 million roughly, mm-hmm. of $180 million budget. So
yeah, one third.
And that's everything. That's all your road service areas, yeah. and all your enterprise funds. So, you know, your true operational budget for borough services, as you historically think about them, I mean, it's almost half of what you spend for everything else.
Yeah.
So it's significant. And, you know, it's justifiably so, right? That's a big part of our community. But there's certainly some struggles. And I think, you know, the state system and how it's funded. And you know, you've heard me talk about the required local contribution, mm-hmm. and the penalty that our community pays. Because we tax ourselves, and the state says, well, you shall then contribute to education, which we all would do anyway, but it reduces how much the state contributes.
It does.
And so, you know, effectively, these last
and
couple
you were,
years.
You were the one mayor who really brought that up.
You know, I'm sure other people have said it.
But it's you just, you made it a highlight.
It is. It's a huge highlight. And you think about just the last year to this year, the adjustment in the RLC mm-hmm. means that our district will be whacked by $3.5 million. Roughly. And so if I don't add another $3.5 million just to get them to where they were last
year, you've lost money.
We've lost money.
Yeah.
And so, and this happens, you know, when it's 1% and 2%, you know, it's a few $100,000 here and there, and it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. But because the numbers are so much larger, you see these, you know, millions of dollars that gets taken off the table. And it's devastating. I mean, we see the results in the school district and what's happening with class sizes and things. And, you know, that goes back to your legislators, and it goes back to the system that we have that I think is flawed, in my opinion. And the Assembly has agreed with that. We've actually, the Assembly supported resolution which calls for a change to the required local contribution. If I could wave a magic wand, any legislators listening, do away with RLC.
Will Stapp will be on here tomorrow. Call in.
All right.
Yeah, call right. in. Yeah.
I'll have to see what I'm doing 11 to 12, but I love... Will and I have talked a little bit about this in the past, but it is a big problem, and our legislators can fix it. But it comes with a price tag, and that price tag is $300 million. That's how much property owners in Alaska pay for education that the state otherwise, in my opinion, should be paying.
That's a big number.
It is. And if you so if I was to wave my magic wand, say, do away with RLC, you would still, as a community, be able to contribute. In my kind of envision for this, you would still have a cap. So you would still be able to take care of the disparity test for the federal funding piece. But you could still fund, we could fund to the cap, and we could still do some major reductions or be able to use those funds for other things in the community, and which I think would be a tremendous benefit, whether it be schools, whether it be other facilities, whether it be reduction in taxes. There's some great options on the table. And then you encourage, you get rid of this penalty that communities pay to incorporate. You go across the state, talk to anyone that's in an unincorporated community. They're going to say, there's no way I'm going to do it because the state's going to take money out of my pocket the minute I incorporate. And it's true.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yet they're supposed to incorporate, but they won't because they got to spend their own money.
Right. And it's this stick approach. You know, the state comes around and says, you know, we want you to incorporate. We want you to pick up all this cost that otherwise we would pay for. And I would argue... Yes, there is a cost to the state of Alaska to pay for the basic need of education across the entire state, uniformly for all districts. But the benefit is, when a community incorporates, you've got a police department, mm-hmm. you've got a fire department, we do planning and zoning, we have libraries, we have parks and recreation. There are things that a community comes together to provide mm-hmm. that the state then doesn't have to.
And won't anyway.
And well, I mean,
for the most part.
For the most part, but it's a burden, it's a cost that then comes off of their shoulders. And then the community takes ownership of that and says, hey, we get to decide what our taxes are. We get to decide what we do for services. And it really brings it down to that local level.
How's the Carlson Center working for you? About a year ago or a year and a half ago, you went to self-management of it?
Gosh, we're 2+ years now. So we're coming up on July will be, I think, the third year. We've been doing really great. If you've been out that way, if you've been out to activities over there, you know that there's people there every day. We've certainly, I think, struggled with some staffing issues.
Everyone has.
You know, particularly with some of our part-time positions for flipping events. But we've got some great community partners. The Fairbanks Soccer Association, FYSA, has been a big part of that, and flipping the Carlson from hockey to indoor sports, to
event center,
winter expos, to all these different activities. And the community, I think, doesn't even recognize we've got people that are literally working there 24 hours a day, not in 24 hour segments, but around the clock to keep that thing moving.
Fiscally, how's it doing for you?
So we are doing okay. We've been meeting some of our projections. Some things we've done really well on, others have been struggling.
On your behalf, prior management that you would hire, you still had to subsidize them. And it didn't matter what their loss was, you had to cover it.
Right. So, the challenge we had is in the past, it would cost us $500,000 to $1 million a year, depends on the year. In order for us to have an outside management company provide, basically manage the facility, the costs were astronomical. And
they didn't do it as astutely as they could because they had no financial buy-in.
They were covered, right?
Yeah.
There was a guarantee, whether there was an event there or not, that certain costs were going to be covered. And so they were probably more picky about the different events that happened there. Our goal now is that it's under local management. The costs are relatively comparable. Mm-hmm. It's a few hundred thousand more, so there's an additional cost there for us to be the manager. But the thing that I'm proud about is that we've got people there every single day. You've got activities, whether it be hockey, soccer, the youth room, our additional rooms for meeting, convention space.
Roller skating this summer?
Roller skating.
I didn't do that. That's why I'm not wearing a cast.
Yeah. Same here. But, there's opportunities that we missed out on in before. And we were able to moderate the prices. So what we've said is, hey, if you're going to come in, we'll provide services, we'll provide equipment, we'll reduce the cost. Instead of being $12,000 a day, it's $2,000 a day. But then you've got to provide your own security. You've got to provide your own kind of amenities to that. Mm-hmm. So people can be more flexible in their business model. And we've had some incredibly innovative ideas that have come out of staff, that have come out of the community on how they can utilize that space now that it's, I would say, available on a wider spectrum.
Good for you. How's your Birch Hill doing?
Birch Hill is doing really great as well.
Most people don't realize the world-class event center that you have there with your cross-country skiing, your summer trails, your bike riding, your disc golf, your frisbee golf.
Yep.
There's, that's probably the most used facility by myself is the Birch Hill Trails. It really is.
And it's a tremendous example of partnership. Mm-hmm. So the Fairbanks North Star Borough obviously is the community owns the facility, but through partnership with the Nordic Ski Club, they do most of the operations and maintenance of that facility. We were able to get I'm not sure if it was CARES or ARPA funding. I think it was ARPA funding. We were able to get a new track snow groomer for the facility to replace the aging one.
Mm-hmm.
And they do all of that work. That's all done by volunteers and donations through the Nordic Ski Club. And like you said, it's a world-class event. We had the Junior Nationals here last year.
It was fantastic.
And people said, this is some of the best skating that we've done, or skiing that we've done in the world. And it happens here in our backyard.
And all the volunteers that mm-hmm. helped make that event, it was incredible.
Oh, yeah. The they're not Conexes, but the ski rooms and all of the folks there, it was awesome.
When you have a national event in Fairbanks, Alaska, that's special. So congratulations to your facility there, because I really enjoyed that. Well, I enjoy the trails.
And the Nordic Ski Association.
Shout out to them.
So they do a great job.
Mayor, we have a minute left. How do you want to finish it, sir?
There's a lot of things going on. Maybe just a little safety reminder here. So I do understand it sounds like we had someone go through the ice here this yesterday. So if you are out and about, the ice is not thick enough to safely be on yet. It was 32 degrees yesterday. There's open water still. So please be wise. Please be smart about where you choose to go and recreate at this time of year. And we want everyone to come home safely. Tonight, I didn't even think, today's Halloween, right?
Yep.
So be safe when you're out there in the community. If you're going to be out past dark, make sure you've got reflectors and lights on.
Come by the City Hall from 3 to 6 p.m. for Halloween. All the very wonderful demonstrations and displays we have, and pick up a glow stick for tonight's events.
Yes.
Mayor, thank you very much. And Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow with State Representative Will Stapp.